No, I was at Crenshaw, and then I come back to the main plant. So I was stayed at the main plant, and I retired on Douglas because they all done moved it and tore it down, you know. So mm-hmm. they all moved across on Douglas Street. So that's where I was running the crane down Nash, and between Nash and Douglas Street, that's where the plant, the section what I was working in. And then after 1976, I told them they didn't take me out of that stuff. I was going to take a year off for sick leave. So 3 days after that, they come and got me. I was just getting sick. Oh, my stomach, I couldn't. Oh, I was sick. And it was so hot, I was fixing. I was on my way to the main plant. And the wedge man met me, you know, the wedge man. So he says, if I'd walked over to the other 29 plant and got in the shade to go, I was going to catch the little old bus. So he said, what's the matter? I said, oh, it's just so hot. I just stand up here cooling off, but I'm so sick and finger faint, look like. So I went on to the hospital and I told him I was just too sick of that stuff. It was making me sick. So he called the labor relation and told him to get her out of this plant. Mm-hmm. And if you don't get her out of here, just get her right off of that kind of job because she's sick. Mm-hmm. And so they moved me into a tube crib then, training into a tube crib. Mm-hmm.
And how long was that before you retired?
I went in there, let me see, 76. I went right on in there. Because they had sent me across. They played like they didn't have another processing tank, you know, in the plant. Mm-hmm. Union line, everybody line. Some just always come to me and tell me to go look at something. I said, well, I'm going to take a walk. Because the girl told me, said, it's another processing deal over there in that corner. And sure enough, it was. Now, why couldn't I work in there all the time, place of being running that great big old crane? What's about from here, the tanks is about from this living room to that other side of that road over there, because you had to have 8 tanks in that whole thing, mm-hmm. and walking on iron rails on top of it. Mm-hmm. So feet, I had to have my feet operated on.
Mm-hmm. That's like...
And you smell and you had everything. You had nitric acid, you had chem film, and which is dangerous and caustic, would eat up the material, would eat you up if it get on you. And I can't think of that stuff would clean the material. But all that's chemical. Mm-hmm. My inspector, she named all that mess because she's still out there inspecting. She calls me, coming over here one Saturday when you're not what's the left that door?
Sounds like might have been somewhere in your kitchen.
No, it's the monkeys over there doing that, but the door, it'll blow the other door together. Mm-hmm. But them people, you hear all that noise over there, there's them guys over there. I don't know when they're going to put them out, throw them out. Mm-hmm. And why they want to sleep in it, find one spot in the middle up there that's not burning. Maybe that's why they all piled up there sleeping. Mm-hmm. The girl got a little boy up there, and that little boy don't know whether he goes to school or not. And she's on the corner. They know that. Oh, and that little boy back there with all the men doing everything. He steal cars, and that other boy, he can fix a car so good, him and his brother. So they go off and get to strip somebody else's car, and then they'll come back and they'll, he'd put it together for him, and then he'd sell it or something like that. And it never did bother none of mine, because I know him, you know, I know Mac and him.
Mm-hmm. When you were married to Prince, how did you make decisions between the two of you? I mean, you're both working. Did you say, like on money, did you put all your money together?
Well, we just sit down and get all the bills paid up, and maybe if we got $20 left or something like that. He had his bank account.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, well, I think I had mine or something when I met him anyway.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, just like we'd have $20 or whatever stuff, you know, I'd give him 10 to put in his pocket, and I'd take my 10, so whatever he wanted to do with it, he'd do it, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
So I didn't care. I wouldn't be like some men, like a woman, that man come there with some hard fried egg between some bread, no meat or nothing, and on the weekend she's always having some women over and cooking all that fine food, and he got so poor and sick. And we told him he's going to be sick from, you know, just malnutrition. It's a shame.
Mm-hmm.
He didn't have to work. Oh, that woman comes, that's her dog, and she come way from Santa Monica. She's mad.
She is
mad. I told you, my boys, you know, the little boys, they ought to get her out, get them out of there. Police just won't. He used to come down and told them all that they didn't get out of that place, and the mother gang left. Act like they just, I don't know why they don't clean up that place. You just ever look back there.
Mm.
The old trash can was full, but some, I guess the landlord finally made the city come and get that. Well, why don't she take her dog on where she knows she got to move, and when they leave, they'll all turn her loose.
Mm.
But he's just a good watchdog. He let them know anybody's around.
It's her dog, huh?
Yeah, she come way from over in Santa Monica to feed her dog, and she told me, I cook good food for my dog, and I don't feed him. I told you don't feed him nothing. About got her pot and done something with it, the water pot she got for the dog.
Mm-hmm.
And she used to come clean up all that stuff around that farm. That old house used to be there, I think it was there when you was here, and they tore all that down before I got back.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I noticed that it was gone. So anyway, you were saying that you would sort of split up whatever was left after you paid the bills?
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm.
He was nice, but he just he just got carried away with people, with some woman from Louisiana. She's running around and getting everybody.
Mm-hmm.
And he was one of them people bonding that council sign, and they call him the moon child, you know, sometime. Because after I seen why he didn't go to service, he just didn't know no, just didn't have all blown to him. Shoot.
Mm-hmm. So he got involved with her, and then,
because he was having a car fixed on the shelves all coming and stuff like that, and they come in here. Every time I'd walk out the door, I'd meet a sheriff or something like that, and I just wore down when I got my divorce, finally got him from here. Because
mm-hmm.
he was just and buying her everything. She wanted everything she could see. Sometimes I'd leave the window open and she'd see all this stuff might have been letting in here. Might have come from work or something and let her come in the house. You can't tell.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And then she'd just walk off with the stuff. He don't know where she went. She was living, he moved up there with Miss Thomas and them way up on the, I could, And he had stole the car from local loan, wouldn't pay for it. And then he had a white station wagon. That's the reason I was off, because I was going to drive the station wagon. I had started in Texas. And I said, I was really anxious to be driving then. And that's when we started. He was saying off the wall, and I stopped in the hall back there. I said, what's wrong with you? Ain't nothing wrong with me. I said, you going down to pay Sears? No, I ain't paying no Sears. I said, I'm going to the barber shop. I said, well, I'll go to the barber. No, you're not. All other time he sat with me at the beauty shop, he just, everywhere he'd go, he'd carry me. That's the reason I couldn't understand. Mm-hmm. He want me to go sometimes be in a robe or something. He just want me to go with him wherever he had to go. And he'd go do the grocery shopping, but I'd be with him. And I never did like the grocery shop like that, you know. Mm-hmm. He was just really nice, but it just something, them women just had him going. Some kind, I don't know what was wrong with that man. And at 7 o'clock, he'd be sitting up eating, and when that 7 o'clock come, he just, shoes untied and everything. I told my son, I said, let's follow him. I'm going to lay down. I don't want to have nothing to do. I said, take me on. I'm going to see where he's going. So he went up that filling station way up there on 91st, and he'd just be out there in the yard, and he'd go to the telephone. That's all I saw. And then sometime I'd be on my way to town, and see him and this woman in the car. And I was mean myself during them time, but I just come home one time and just pray to the Lord and just never let me, because I just shot in that top of that car. I wouldn't care who I hit or nothing. But I said, I can't do these things. I'm just by myself. I don't have nobody. Charlene was married then to Curtis. She was still with him now. She was very nice. I sure was glad to have her. Now they got 2 children. Mm-hmm. She's in the movie. And she's cheerleading captain, but she's finna graduate on the 9th now. And she's teaching for the Board of Education some 50 little kids now. And she's running a little self down till she done wearing a size 5. I said, girl, you just looking so stringy. I said, what are you doing? Why don't you let some of this stuff alone? Then you're going out here dancing for these different parks. They had over at JCPenney's Saturday for last. And I told Charlene, you need to make her stop till she get over this. Her prom will be on the 22nd. And I say, and then she's going to graduate. Why don't you just stop or something? And then they called in for the different movies. She had to go Friday for last, I believe it was last Friday, and Tuesday they called her. Whenever she got to go to the studio, they all, Board of Education, you have to take them out of school.
So she, your daughter, how did she end up being in California? Did she meet Curtis here, or did she?
She knew Curtis at home, but I didn't. But Curtis was staying here, too. Mm-hmm. And when she come out here, see, they get married here. Yeah, they got married because Brandon was born. They got married. They got married here in California. Down at Dakota House, I think, or something. I don't know. Somewhere, I can't remember. Mm-hmm. It was here in Los Angeles. Because mm-hmm. they both was born in the same month. Mm-hmm. But he's a little older than she is, I think. Not all that much. Mm-hmm. So they just two good partners to look like that. It'll be all fake the same way, I guess.
So what year was she married, do you remember? Or about what time, you just roughly?
I don't know. Let me see. I think Jean is 23, I believe. So they must have been married 23 years. I don't know. I'd have to ask her all that. Mm-hmm. Oh, no, I don't know. I can't keep up with her. And I had to keep up with my mother, too, after I got her out of school. And she married one of the teachers in school in Dallas, but she wasn't under a child. She didn't even know what a check was. And that's when I think that's when I sent and got her and then carried her down here after I seen the letter that he had got a lawyer and was writing all that crap. And I don't never mess in none of them business until I see that they gonna do something to her, and she being a young girl like that and don't know nothing about nothing. I just carried it on down there. He's dead too now, so he wrote the letter and made him split that money up of that house and everything. And she carried the furniture over to my mother's and give it to her. I had sent the furniture from here down there to her. See the furniture, and now my mother has it.
When you and Prince, during the time when you were married and when you, before this other woman came into the scene, what, with both of you working, how did you manage the house and...
Oh, he paid all the house notes. House note then wasn't but $90, and it wasn't, didn't like but $9,000 getting paid off. What I should have done, I had to refinance to get him off of there. Because I had it drawn up, one part his and one part mine, trying to be fair, you know, so he could do whatever he wanted with his part, and I do whatever I wanted, whoever he wanted to will it to. That's what I was talking about. And, and then I said, gosh, we went out and made out a will. I was thinking about that. I had to write up, and this woman said, well, you can write your own will out. So I just wrote out as a mailman. Wrote out the will. I spread everything back down the bed, all my everything, cause so that she won't have no trouble finding something if something happened to me when I was going home. I always do that when I get ready to leave. But I was waiting to get the contract from the plot, from my headboard of my graveyard board. I didn't even know what.
When, did, in terms of like things like housework and cooking and all of that, did you?
Did he help or something? Mm-hmm. Yeah, he'd take care of the yards and all that stuff. He just enjoyed, looked like a hippie. We would just till that woman come in there. I don't know what she said when she talked to me from 10 o'clock to 1 o'clock one night about it and everything she wanted to tell me. I told her I know all about it. I said, man, I could have killed you when you walked out of down here on Van Ness and Imperial. I said, the old beauty shop. I said, I don't want to hate you. Ain't nothing I want to do to you. Ain't nothing y'all can do to me. Because you ain't hurting me at all. He said you wasn't married to him. You was married to Drake. I said, honey, I don't have to prove nothing to you. But I have my license and everything from Good Prince and my divorce degree from Drake. And when I married Prince and everything, I got all of that stuff. Because he said he wanted this house and he was going to put me out. I said, he can't get a thing from this house. And I didn't go to work the next day. I changed everything. I stayed right here because if I had it, he would have come in there and got something out of here. No telling, because he liked that couch the white lady had given him. It's in the garage and I want to have it done over. But I stayed home and seen that these locks got changed. And so she said, but I don't fool with him no more. She told somebody, that's the biggest sucker I ever got a hold of, because she had got the, they didn't want her to work in this barbershop over here because she was running off the customers, you know. She's supposed to be a barber, but that's the way she get next to them. See, she was just one of them hustlers from from this Louisiana, what I was telling you about. And I wondered where it was going. And then they would say, and then she went up, and his little sisters now down at Ragley had a box in the back room packed up for him then. And had made him go home, see his folks, and that little girl was 9 years old before he ever seen his sister. And he was so glad I brought him home. I said, you don't work like that. He was working with General Moses and North America till he couldn't walk, and he had to turn one of them loose, so he turned General Moses loose and stayed in North America. Mm-hmm. He really liked his work, though. But
so he had children before?
Mm-mm. That was just his sister.
Mm-hmm.
But I'd make him send his mother money and stuff. Because he wouldn't have known where he was or nothing.
Mm-hmm.
He was living with some woman, and she got over here on 90-something, or 88, I believe it is. And he had a fence put around there, and she signed his name over. And she did that from her other husband to Prince. And that's the reason I wouldn't be putting my name. I don't change my name so fast till I see what's happening behind somebody, you know. Because I felt like something was going on wrong. He was married to somebody else or something. And he was married, but he wasn't married to this last one, what he's with. And he got, you see, he didn't have no sense of divorces in here. Papers, he don't know why no divorce papers here. You don't know where nothing is. And left all his clothes up here to Mr. Thomas.
So did, so you had divorced him, and did you still have to work around him after?
Did I start?
He was in Downey, though.
He was in Downey, and I was here.
Mm-hmm.
No, he, after one night, I don't know, I had been bothering him, but I just got the devil in me that night, and he didn't want me to never go towards that car. He'd just have a fit, a station wagon. It was sitting out there between the house. I said, well, this is one time I'm going to a station wagon and see what in the world is in it that he don't want me. I said, well, if on this way you don't want me to bother the station wagon, you get everything out of this house and get it in your station wagon and take it and leave. And he wasn't going to do that, so he didn't know what I was going to do. He called the police. That's reading, the police wasn't coming out of here. And so the police told him, he said, well, that's reading, people get killed right now because y'all don't never come to see, see nothing about them when they call you. So my son-in-law, Charlie, my daughter's husband, Sammy, the police coming, you better put the gun down, whatever you got. Why don't you put the thing down? I said, I ain't thinking about that man. I'm going to stand right here. So the police came and told him, said, well, she got just as much right of that car as you have. But she don't want me to move my things out of here. I said, don't you start that stuff. I don't want you to move your things out of here. I said, I told you that if he want his things, he can have his things and take that car and go. Now, either one. So he said, well, get your things. So he couldn't put all his junk in there. And I didn't have no bedroom in that room there then because I just couldn't get all them things together that it wants, you know. We had then been down picking out things. So. Yeah. And I taken a picture, I think, of where he had all that junk in the floor. So he got just about all of them. He just couldn't put no more in that car, his junk. So he'd go up there to the drive-in when it was a drive-in up there and stay there till 1 o'clock. I mean, he'd go do his other jobs. He's working for Basket or Robinson, cleaning up. And then he'd go to North America at 6 o'clock. He'd be going on out to North America.
Mm-hmm. When you were working this time, you had gone from, you said, to you had been at Downey, and then you went to Crenshaw, and then to El Segundo?
No, I went to Louisiana, and then went to, first we went to Jefferson, from Jefferson to Louisiana, and from Louisiana, I don't know where the other plant was, but I didn't get to work in that one. It was in the hangar, that's right. But I did go to the hangar and worked in Hangar 8 for a long time.
Mm-hmm. What did you do there?
Well, I was working on the side panel and in the media of the plane, you know, where the people would sit up in there. And mm-hmm. they'd have about 25 men all up in that thing. And then they want you out. I went up there, and the next day I told my informant I wasn't going up in that plane. If they want me to do my work, you let them get through with theirs, and I go up and do mine, or else I'm not going up in there no more.
What have they given you?
And I had all my tools. They didn't have no tools. And this big old foreman, Tiny, we call him, he just wanted, Sammy, you said, I want you to work with me. He wanted me to work with him all the time. Because I had all the tools and stuff, you know, I had everything, and they didn't have many tools over at that hangar. And me and him could just work so good together, you know, and I worked with him a long time, and then they put me on to making the bottom deck. Mm-hmm. Then I'd make that bottom deck up from scratch and buck my own rivets and put the ribs in and everything. The bottom deck of the plane fits up under the bottom.
Mm-hmm.
Great big old jig. And from that, I went to the floor, making floors. Something or other they call the floor. Mm-hmm. Oh, man, I've had it, I'm telling you.